right, Keith, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is
I'm already having fun, and we haven't even started.
Oh, we haven't started. Man. We've just been dicking around in the meantime. But thank you so much for hanging out and coming to our table. This is our first Rockin' Pod.
Really?
Yes. Is it yours?
Yes, it is.
It's your first.
It's my first one.
That's very cool. And are you in Nashville? Like, are you in Nashville now?
No, well, I'm down here for the Rockin' Pod.
Right.
I haven't been down here in a long time.
Oh, okay.
But I came in for this. My buddy Don Jameson.
Yes.
You know Don.
Yeah.
We've been doing a show called The Rock Strap, and he's been telling me about Rockin' Pod, and so we came down. I came down. I've been having a blast. I got into town Thursday night.
Yeah.
And even though I've been here before, but to really experience Broadway at 10:30 in the morning and having a couple cocktails and
right.
Usually I pull in and I've never had the honors of really getting to hang out. So I've really got to hang out and experience Nashville. I feel like I got it all. And of course, now that I've been here, I think I'm supposed to come back in like 3 weeks already for something.
Okay.
Oh, no shit.
I'm not a Nashville guy.
Okay. Well, that's okay, because the next time you come here in the next 3 weeks, it's going to be a totally different place. There's going to be more things for you to see, and everything's going to be different.
I have tons of friends here, and I always love meeting new friends. So
yes.
Right on, man. Yeah. And you're welcome at our place anytime you're in town, man.
Yeah.
You a drink, man. We'll hook you up. We'll go in the studio, record your shit.
All right.
Oh my God.
You see, the thing you don't realize is I'm going to hold you to that.
Hey, man. That's
we'll
all I want to do, man, is make some fucking magic.
No, we'll definitely take it. And so I was very excited, because when we had the opportunity to do this, we had a compilation of people to look at. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, this would be so fucking cool to have you a part of this. So I'm very happy that we got a chance to do this. And you are our last interview of the day.
Oh.
So you are
the celebratory one.
I guess so, for good or bad.
This is it, man.
I've had way too
much. You're my last interview of the day, too. So
either way,
I'm dropping the mic after this one.
My
Lord. Yeah, man.
Throwing it down.
Finales, man.
I'm on way too much tequila and way too little of sleep. And in the process of me asking you a couple of questions, I'm going to be making you a mocktail.
Okay.
So I'm going to put something together for you, and I hope that you enjoy it. But let's kind of get down to what you do. So I think most people know who you are. But you are a musician, you are a podcaster, you are a host. Like, you do a myriad of things. Like, what is something that you find, what is a day in the life of Keith Roth?
It starts the second I wake up. And it's like, the phone.
Just keeps going.
Which I wish I could just throw out the window. Because you know what you got to do to begin with, but then there's more shit added onto it.
Right, right.
But then I say to myself, man, I'm having a great time. Why should I, get bummed out about it? Like, my life is all about music and getting to make music and be involved in music and playing people's music or playing my own music. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Keith, and just move on and have fun. And, what gets me through the day is knowing that my beloved New York Knicks are probably playing that night. And that's my goal, at that point.
That's excellent, man. I mean, being a musician and having all that passion, man, that's the stuff that makes you get up in the morning.
Right,
I have a great idea, or I have this thing that I'm always creating something.
Yeah, I mean, between, I juggle a lot of different things, but people are like, how do you do that, man? Like, because, you're on Sirius and your band's playing and you're on the road and stuff like that. And it's not that hard, because it's just life. How to go through, it's what it is. And believe me, I'm one of those guys where there's no middle ground. I'm either full on and I'm out, or I don't leave the couch.
Or you're chill.
I'm Charlton Heston in The Omega Man. You know what I mean? Like, if you ever saw The Omega Man, Last Man on Earth, there's my two extremes in life,
That is so funny. And I think that that's kind of really important, because you have to have a little bit of both, because I'm sure it can be quite draining. But if you enjoy what you're doing, that's all that really matters.
It's all worth it, man.
It's all worth it.
No work. It's not work at that point.
And you had mentioned ties to Rochester, New York, and Dan and I are both from Rochester. So, the name of the band that you are recording with, which actually you were leaving, you said to go to Woodstock, New York tomorrow, which my response is, what's in Woodstock? And you were like, we're cutting a new song.
Yeah, we're The Dictators, a band I played, they've been around since the 70s. Some people, predated the Ramones as far as the New York punk scene. But we're recording a version of a Dictators classic called Stay With Me.
Okay.
So Andy Chernoff and really, after all this craziness over the last few days of Rockin' Pod in Nashville, the choices were either that or Easter, and it's like, I can't do Easter. So the fun continues, but playing with the Dictators is a blast. The first record came out in 23 years, a few months ago. We're really proud of it. We've been out with the Damned. We supported, you know, we're out with them.
Very cool, man.
A couple times. We did two tours with the Damned, and we're supposedly heading up your way, or where you used to be in Rochester, sometime, hopefully in the fall. Probably getting back to Canada because it's been a couple years since we've been up there. So I've heard rumblings of Rochester, and I heard one place in particular. But you guys are from Rochester now, live in Nashville, right?
Yes,
right,
and it's been a while since we've been there. There's a few new places that have opened up. So like I kind of see it through like you know social media and whatnot. But that's pretty cool. So it's a fun place to play, and there's a lot of good venues up there. Especially I kind of feel like the Northeast. Kind of gets overlooked in certain places. So I'm hoping that like you guys get a really good response up there, which I you probably will. And actually, wasn't Ace Von Johnson just talking about the Damned too?
Yeah, he was.
I love Ace.
He's great.
Great dude. Yeah. LA Guns and me and him, we're punk rock kids. So, you know, when we talk about old school punk movies like Suburbia.
Yep.
And, he worked with Sylvain Sylvain. I worked with David Johansen for 4 years. So
wow.
Yeah,
what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. Incredible experience. I love David so much. I mean, I've been talking about him a lot because of his passing. So
he just passed.
Yeah, I did a tribute show with Meg Griffin that aired about a month, 2 or 3 weeks ago, where we got to share some personal stories. I was produced his radio show. I played in the David Johansen group. I recorded some stuff with him, and you know, out of all the great things I've done in music, that's probably the thing I hold in the highest regards, because he was a teacher. He was like my older brother. He was also like my little brother. And like, you know, he was just a great spiritual advisor. And what a fucking talent, man. You know, always the smartest guy in the room. And, and think about
really witty and shit. And
witty and just, almost like he was kind of bored hanging around Earth for a while. You know, he's probably in the controller's ear right now, kind of making him aware of what's going on.
Man.
But you know, between the New York Dolls and his solo stuff and the comedy and just every multi-talented, and just I learned so much and I miss him. I think about him all the time. And he's been sick for a while, but he kind of had it in check. And then he took a bad fall around the holidays that he broke his back, and then they kind of wrote him off, put him in hospice home care, and then he recovered from that. And he got out of bed. It was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen when I went and visited him, which I had in my brain was going to be the last time, and it actually was. But when I left there, that wasn't what I thought was going to happen. But I seen him, and he got out of bed, and it was like we're talking about future stuff, and he was no longer in hospice. Like that doesn't happen, right?
Right.
But then apparently we made plans to see each other on a Saturday. This was on a Tuesday or something, and The sickness came back full force and kind of.
Yeah.
So we were playing in Woodstock, back to Woodstock, called The Colony.
Okay.
And it was a gig, was The Dictators and Steve Conte. Do you guys know Steve Conte?
Dude, I know Steve Conte. I got a little story real quick, man. I used to roadie for that guy.
Steve Conte?
Dude, and the Crown Jewels. Remember him and his brother?
Of course.
Yeah.
Steve and John.
Somebody, a girl named Lisa St. Anne goes, hey, man, I got a gig for you. If you want to make some money, they're going to give you a couple $100 to drive them up to Albany and do a couple shows. But that's how I know Steve, man. I was like, man, this guy can freaking sing. Great songwriter. But
great guitar player.
Yeah, we connected, man. I know he was in the Dolls, right?
Right.
And he did some cool stuff. So anyways, that was my little story.
No. But
you go ahead.
I've known Steve since I was like 15. You know, I
mean, no shit.
Maybe I'm exaggerating. 18.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from the Bronx, New York.
I could tell, but I wasn't sure.
And I've been
New York grit, man. You know,
yeah.
Punk rock.
I've been in Jersey for a long time, though. I love New Jersey, which is now a suburb of New York City.
Pretty much.
I live right outside of Red Bank, New Jersey, which
that's where Jerry lives, right? Right outside.
Yeah, Jerry. Yeah,
we're used to, right?
Me and Jerry Gaskill see each other quite a bit at ShopRite and at Trader Joe's, or we'll do some shows together. And there's a thing called Pull a Gaskill.
What is it?
It turned into a thing. Like one time I saw Jerry at ShopRite, and I was in a rush. I didn't have time to talk. So I was like, even though you love him, you know what I'm saying, right? You just don't got the time, right? So
like a Larry David moment right there.
Right. Love Jerry, but I can't talk right now. So I'm boogieing through the store.
And meanwhile, Jerry's thinking the same thing.
Well, there you go. That's exactly it. So I'm boogieing through ShopRite, and all of a sudden I go down an aisle, and there's Jerry, and he sees me, and he pretends he doesn't see me. And I'm like, I love this. So we converse about this, and it turned into Pull a Gaskill. So now, the funny thing is, I told this to our friend Aaron Doobie, Mark Doobie, who Jerry knows very well, is a bass player, plays with Ted Poley. You know Ted Poley?
Oh, yeah.
Danger,
from
Danger, right?
Danger,
yeah.
Danger, Will Robinson. You know, I always add that little twist in there. But and I tell Erin this story about Pulla Gaskill. So she knows this story. I see her at Trader Joe's, and I'm like, oh, I don't have time to talk to Erin. And then I get in the car, and I realize she knows what Pulla Gaskill is. Oh, so the guilt is I wait for her to walk out so I could be like, hey, what's up, Erin? And she's like, I know you were pulling a Gaskill. So anyway.
So Jerry knows that term, though. You told him about it?
But he's the king of it. He started it.
All right.
One night, Daniel Ray, you know Daniel Ray from Master of Reality, he produced the Ramones records.
It was me, Jerry, and Daniel Ray,
and it was like we're at a deli counter at ShopRite on a Saturday night. Like, our fucking lives are so exciting right now. You know. But the Dictators were playing in Woodstock, New York, and I'd seen David. But there was a sweet relief thing for him that people were doing, raising money for him, because he wasn't been able to work. So that, you know, these T-shirts, LUV, David Johansen shirts. I saw a lot of them in the crowd. So after the gig was over, I went out and took pictures of people wearing the shirt, and I sent it to Mara, which is David's wife. And the response I got back is he just passed. So, but what's weird, and it's beautiful in the same way, is that Steve Conte is playing with the Dictators, supporting us, and it was just really cool to us to kind of go through that together. And then every night, you know, when we finished up those dates, to play a Dolls tribute, you know, for David.
Yeah, like,
and he was part of the Dolls for that whole reunion.
He understands you understand him, you guys knew each other, and the
right and the connection to David. Yeah, so it's weird, but But, you know, his legacy will live on forever, and, we're
absolutely, man.
No doubt.
R.I.P., man.
I wanted to say that, like, so being that you've done so much, what do you have coming up in the next year that you're really excited about?
My solo record, which came out in April, which, yes. The Law of Diminished Returns.
Oh, just this month.
It's doing really good, and I'm fortunate a lot of people want to talk to me about it, which was cool. The vinyl comes out on the 25th, blue vinyl, so...
cool.
But I'm, really proud of the record. You know, it's a conceptual journey. It's a solo record, too. Like, putting my name under it,
Did you feel stressed out at all?
You know, it took 2 years. Yeah, it was very stressful sequencing. Everything was like, I didn't want to let it go.
Drawing a line, right?
Yeah, finally, like, the label Deco said, put the fucking thing out already. You know, come on, we keep missing. And I was,
we're missing a window. And you're like, stop it with your windows. Stop.
I didn't let it go till it was gone. But I feel really good about it. And, the one thing I've learned about making music for all these years is that if you're happy with it, it's a success. So I was happy with it. So I don't care, what happens. I mean, the record's done okay. And, I'm psyched for the vinyl. We're doing some shows under just my name with a band, Foghat.
Yeah.
Oh, right
yeah.
on.
Yeah, we're doing gigs with Foghat. Right. We're playing in Patchogue, New York on May 17th in Philly. And then, we're on the Little Steven Cruise next month. But that's with the Dictators, with Social Distortion.
Sure.
And the helicopters.
Cool. Badass.
So a lot of things are, but I'm really excited about my record. Yeah. That's the main thing that, for now.
Yeah. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, even though, it's such a feat to make a record. So
it's climbing a mountain, man. Right?
Yeah. Seriously.
Well, people know me from radio. Right. And they don't know I'm a musician. And then people, believe it or not, some people don't even know I do radio. Like, oh, you really? Oh, I listen on Sirius. He's on Sirius with, but.
You're
to
like,
finally
yes.
just say Keith Roth, it's like, okay, yeah, it makes it simple. So the album's called The Law of Diminished Returns. And,
what a fitting title.
And, some guy, like Bob from Monster Magnet, plays drums on a lot of the record.
Oh, I remember that band.
Ross the Boss, Punky Meadows, Albert Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult was part of the Dictators. But, these guys, I had a journey, and I said, I feel who should be part of that journey for each little snapshot of each song. So,
Very cool.
It's streaming everywhere, so check it out.
Excellent.
Oh my God.
Will, man. And we'll put the link, and we'll make a picture. If you got a picture online, we'll find it, and we'll edit it and fly it in, man.
Well, I got a promo. I'll give you. Do you guys still listen to CDs?
I do have.
I got
a CD player
in my car.
So
do I, man. I got 2007.
All right, I'll give you a CD.
So I love it. Yeah. The fact that you have CDs makes me happy, though.
Yeah, I mean, they gave me a couple vinyl. I don't have, the label gave me. I took my own, but if I have extra, I'll send you a vinyl at some point. But
oh yeah,
that's so cool. Well, next time you are in Nashville, and I mean, I know it's probably coming up soon, but and that may not work. But any other time that you want to come in, we'd love to like do an
do
actual
a deep
like,
dive,
proper,
man, on your whole career from just the whole thing, man, a whole feature, man.
Well, it's just fun to hang, you know.
Yeah, you
know,
absolutely.
You talk about your career at Rochester, you know, it's like.
It'd be fun. Yeah, and then, I mean, I'd love to maybe try to teach you how to make a cocktail. That'd be fun, too.
A proper one with some alcohol, maybe.
Okay, all right. But this is really good, too. You have to let me know if you like it. Well, okay. How about we cheers to it?
Okay.
Cheers.
What's in here?
Fake gin.
Okay.
Basically fake gin.
Let's go.
Like right over the shoulder.
It's not bad.
Oh, it's not bad, right?
No.
What is that, that seed lip, babe?
Mm-hmm.
There's no alcohol in this?
There's no alcohol in it. So it's a new thing that they're doing, which I'm not entirely sure of the physics of it, but it's...
I hope they're sponsoring you.
So a friend of mine actually works for them, and he gave me a bunch of them, and then I bought this because we threw a party, and half the people were sober, and I was like, well, shit, you know? I mean, someone wants to make something cool, like, other than whatever, but I was like, hey, man, I'm going to take this and just kind of, like... showcase it. So they're from the UK. They have like actually like four different flavors, but I like it, you know. And
it was good.
So like gin, it's like the most thing. And then I have this fun little like bitter. So I used to work downtown, but I have this like this is like a one off, but you can get anything that's similar to that. And then I top it off with a Starry.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't see that till you get to the South.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean,
well, it's funny because I would go for Sprite normally, but they don't have that. So I was like, whatever. Give me the lemon lime stuff. I was like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So can you tell me, I know that we probably have to wrap it up just because there's so many things happening. And well, I mean, I guess it's nice that you're our last guest. But so what is like your favorite? I have two questions. Okay. So what is your favorite band of all time?
That's tough. That's so tough.
Okay, do you have like a couple that you could kind of narrow it down to? Maybe the Dolls?
Rolling Stones, like, okay. Mick Taylor era, Parliament Funkadelic,
yeah.
You know, Eddie Hazel era. I love the Stooges so much, the MC5.
This is all things that I am seeing. I'm envisioning in my mind.
I mean, you know, Miles Davis. I mean, there's Sly and the Family Stone. I could never just pick one band, you know.
Oh, too many angles, man,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, I do love, you know, growing up in the Bronx. You know, the weird thing is I lived in a little neighborhood where my middle brother is like 12 years older than me. He ironically went to school with Handsome Dick Manitoba and Scott Kempner from the Dictators. They went to kindergarten together, so to be in this band is even more funnier. But in New York, it was like everybody was hip to the music that didn't catch on until 30 years later.
Right.
So, like, fresh, I knew the Velvet Underground, stuff. And I'm not trying to be hipster kid, like, total sick, cool guy, but, like, my brothers had the Velvet Underground Nico record and... you know, the MC5, Kick Out the Jams, and the Stooges records, because in that little nook of the world, you know, they searched out these great bands out of Detroit, and there was a great independent record store on Fordham Road in the Bronx. So when we moved out of the Bronx and I came to Jersey, you know, nobody knew who the Stooges were for years. You know, I'd say like the Stooges, like Larry, Moe, and Curly, you know, like they...
So funny. You know, they just didn't know.
They didn't know. And I think Morrissey, who said, I think about David Joe, I think something along the lines that, so it takes 30 years for sometimes for the people to catch up to an artist. And I think that's true.
It's a long time.
You know, so I was just, you know, really lucky that as a kid hearing Cream and Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and all these great bands that, you know. So to pick one band would be tough. I mean.
But it sounds like you have all the right bands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, have all
we all
right
like
bands.
The good music. And listen, you know, you mentioned Jerry. That's another great band that should be a household name. Not to name drop, but I interviewed the great Richie Blackmore, right? You know,
wow.
Deep Purple.
Okay.
And he said to me flat out, and I've told this to Jerry, but he said that a band like King's X, it's a sin that are not at top of the pops. So Richie Blackmore from Deep Purple recognizes that this is a band that should have that kind of
should
iconic
have
history.
Fair shake, man. And, you know, and Jerry doesn't even know that, really, because he's in the band. I'm like, dude, it's like, and I'm a fanboy before I met him. You know, I'm like, I was in a solo band, and it kind of melted away when
what,
you know
what do you play?
I'm a singer and a guitar player.
Okay.
So Dan's actually in the process right now, aside from doing the music on his own. He actually is producing the Galactic Cowboys.
Yeah, because I did Jerry's solo record.
Yeah.
This Love and Scars record I produced.
He told me all about you.
Oh.
You produced it?
I produced it. And I co-wrote.
So you went up to Earl Slick's house?
Yes.
Yeah, we
yes.
met Earl with the big dog and shit.
Yeah, yeah. All the way up, man. Like if he was in police protection, they would say, fuck this guy, we can't find him. Far up.
It would look like a different world up there.
Jerry was telling me the whole process when that was happening. So he was praising you.
No.
So you produced the record.
I produced the record, yeah.
And that was an amazing record, Love and Scars.
I love that record, man. You know,
and
I mean,
all the different guys that he had playing on it.
He had everybody, and everybody, and Billy Sheehan, who was here.
I was talking
to him about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And who else? John DeServio. He's in your neck of the woods, right?
JD, yeah. These are all guys. And even though, you know, I mean, I grew up with, well, I met John, I was probably 17, 18 when I met John. He was playing with a guy that we lost a very, another mutual friend, Tommy DeFaro, who's like one of my best friends and one of JD's best friends. And, you know, I played with Tommy for years in Frankenstein 3000. JD played with him in a band called Tyrus. They were the best band in the world when we were kids because, you know, these are like young teenage kids and going in there and playing like, you know, all these like deep Judas Priest songs, like, you know, not the, you know, really deep eclectic stuff and nailing it, you know. So seeing kids your age playing that well at that age was like, holy shit. But yes, JD was on the record.
Yeah,
see how my ADHD, it just flies around.
Yeah, man.
You got it, though. You knew.
Yeah, that was a trip, man, doing that with Jerry. And we're supposed to do another one, man.
It's time, right?
I'm going to give him a call, but I know he's ready when he's ready. You can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to go, hey, man, let's go with this stuff.
He's the king of saying that, too.
You know, he's giving me, what do you call that thing that he did to you in the grocery store?
It's pulling a Giasco.
He's doing that to me
with
the
record. Pulling a Giasco. He's all too familiar with pulling. My wife is right over there, right? So she hasn't drank in like 10 years.
Oh.
So I can't wait to give her this.
Yeah, please. Oh, awesome. Maybe let her know about it. It's cool,
Rachel,
though.
I got something for you.
Rachel, we got something for you. She's like,
okay.
Oh my God.
You can have it.
What is happening? She's like, why are people yelling at me? So my next question is, and this will probably be my last one because I know there's so much happening.
Tell her there's no alcohol.
So there's no alcohol in this. So this is a non-alcoholic spirit. This is from the UK. So I've used this for several mocktails, but it has in here, it says right here, it's a complex mix of peas, traditional garden herbs, including rosemary, thyme, and spearmint. And so I tell people, I'm like, it's like gin, but with no alcohol in it. And I topped it off with some Starry and a little bit of this mango, pineapple, and lemongrass and peach. But you may enjoy it. It's fresh.
It's very safe. There's no alcohol in it.
Yes, it's very safe.
No. Have a sip.
He wanted you to
try
it.
I had a sip. I just want to see what you think of it.
Yeah, right? It's refreshing. Well, I wanted to ask you... like the probably my last question, because I don't want to take up too much of your time.
No, it's all good.
Well, is there a band now, like a new band that you're listening to? You know what I mean? That you've kind of like discovered that you really feel cool about?
You know, I go to Brooklyn, you know, with Dictators, or, you know, we rehearse or sometimes rehearse it. And you know, that whole town is like kind of what New York used to be, because you go in and, you know, you see friends. I mean, Devin Thompson is amazing. She's a singer, guitar player. Gibson endorsed her, but she's just got great songs and old soul. She's amazing. I mean, there's so much great new music out there. It's just that, you know, and they're doing their own thing. They don't need corporations to back them.
Right.
They got their following. They're making records. They're supporting each other.
Yeah.
And that's why rock will never die. Maybe it'll go under the radar or music, you know.
A little bit more underground.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, good music is always going to happen. Always going to happen. And you know, Devin Thompson comes to mind, and you know, so many Red Room, a Red Bank, New Jersey band. You know.
So I think it's kind of interesting because drawing from the whole like New York, like New Jersey thing, like that is interesting to me because the new bands that I think of in my head are like bands that like I saw somewhere, and someone's like. Or maybe I heard them on like Octane or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I've never heard this band before. And then like I went and I saw them. And I like a lot of metal too. So like I'm kind of obsessed with like, there's a band that I'm really obsessed with called, I mean, they've been around for a while, but they're called Upon a Burning Body. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm obsessed with Kim Dracula right now. And I'm obsessed with, what's the other band? Spirit World. You know, yeah. So like, but
they get played on Liquid Metal a lot, right?
Do they?
Yeah, Spirit World, right?
They probably do, because I know that they're on. I know all of those bands get played on there. But like, even before I was finding things, like I had friends that told me about it, and then I went to a show. And so like, being that I'm in Nashville, like it's, I appreciate like New York music because right. It's just a little bit different than down here. You know what I mean? So I always look for new stuff.
There's a lot of New Yorkers that live here now.
There is.
You know, I pull into town and I'm getting texts like, "Hey, you know, blah blah blah." Third and Lindsay.
Third and Lindsay.
Were you guys at the gig last night?
No, we did not make it, unfortunately.
I went up and did Superfly, Curtis Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, man.
Which I recorded on my record, so it was fun doing that. But I kept calling it Second and Kingsley because it's Asbury Park, which is like,
man.
You know. Yes. And like, you know, people like, it's Third and, you know. It's like
Third and Lindsley.
Third and Lindsley. You
You're
know.
Like, they
know
what
you
mean.
And I have ADHD, and I'm like, this is really bad right now. And I'm, you know. But yeah, I mean, so many people we know live down here, you know, and it's really kind of just a hub. You know, people love living down here. It's music 24/7. I mean, you
it
know,
really is.
Walking down Broadway the other day, you know, from early in the morning, checking out a lot of new places that have opened up, and but just the spirit of it, you know, walking down a street and seeing bands playing at 10:30 in the morning at 11.
I know.
Their commitment. Their,
I know, right?
They've given their whole lives about music, and they're all happy.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. I think that's the victory right there, right?
It's a gift, man. It's really a gift to live here and hear all that.
Yeah.
It is. It kind of stresses me out that other places don't have that, because I'm like, you have good music. Like, you have good musicians. Like, I understand. New York and here, and maybe like Vegas and LA are a little bit different, but you have good music there. Freaking, you know, put it on display, man. People are happier when there's music, live music. People love that, you know?
Yeah.
So
I agree,
that's
babe.
One thing that'll never go away.
Yeah.
You know, they could add AI and all this stuff, but, you know, depending, you know, well, maybe I should rewind that, but, you know, real live music, you know, is something that if you do it for yourself, that's all that really matters, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess maybe because I've done 100 interviews today, or you know, I've done this. It's not, my brain isn't, my mouth isn't processing
what
my brain is
thinking.
But I'm, you know, basically saying that, you know, the art of playing music live, there's nothing that nothing's going to ever change that. You know,
yeah.
I really think, so. I really hope that that's the case.
Yeah, and the connections, man, that it makes, man, just.
No,
it's magic, man. I just love music. I got that passion.
Well, you know, and I just want to say with the Jerry Gaskill record, which he'll tell you, I've referenced that because, you know, when I do radio, but I used to have a show that I did for 25 years called Electric Ballroom, and I've had him on there and many times, and that's one record that we always reference, and you know,
oh, cool,
and I've had
man.
The honors of playing music with Jerry. As a matter of fact, he's so cool, right? I play in a cover band. In Red Bank area called City Asylum, and it's got my buddy Scott from the Moroccan Sheep Herders and Mike Jaffe, who plays in a band called Soraya, who's a great band. They're on Little Steven's label, and our drummer couldn't make it, and I'm like, Jerry, you want to play like this really little divey what day? Yeah. And you know,
sure, man.
Man, I don't know, maybe.
And Jerry's done that for me quite a bit, and you know why? Because he loves playing music.
Yeah.
Whether he's playing to an Enormo Dome or 30 people in a bar, and that's what I love about Jerry. And that's the magic you feel on that record, though. You could feel the passion.
Yeah, like it was. He was really. He's the guy was. He wrote like a whole like the lyrics from one of these songs. Like he just walked into the other room and came back in 10 minutes. He's like, I think this is it. I think I like these. I'm like, well, let's track them. And
right.
That's what it was. He's just one of those guys who just lets it come through him, and he's got such a passion for it. He loves that record, and he gets so much joy out of it. You
yeah.
know, it's just, it's really cool to make music with that guy.
Well, I'm going
to
push you know? It that, you know, it's time to make a third, you know. Well, that was his second solo
that
record,
that was
his
second, man. We need a third one. And, like,
the Earl Slick stories, too, because we both worked with Earl. So, you know. He's a slow starter, but once he gets going, it's a whole different thing, you know? Now, when you were going up there, did you notice a dollhouse? Like, this really, because, like, the GPS loses it. It's how far up he is. And he said, like, when you come to this dollhouse, I go, dollhouse?
What the
he
hell?
Goes, you'll see what I'm saying. And we went over this bridge where you cannot fit. It's one at a time kind of thing. But it was like a dollhouse that was, like, 10 feet high and, like, we all three of us could probably
whose
fit in there.
Whose dollhouse was it?
It's en route to Earl Slick's house. Did you notice that?
I wasn't driving. I was in the back maybe reading my notes.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed it, man.
Such a Tennessee
But it was
thing.
A different land. I felt like I was in a different country. Like
yeah, yeah.
Some old, something Harry Potter or something. The grass is growing and shit.
So funny.
But
it's kind of cool that, you know, out of a guy that we all mutually love, I mean, that he kind of became the theme of the show.
You know? Yeah. It's weird how he just keeps coming through this, like, in, you know, in spirit.
We want to thank Jerry for that.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
The Jerry Gaskill experience tonight on
Nashville on the Rocks.
Nashville on the Rocks.
Jerry brings people together, man. No
doubt. Oh, my God.
That's what it's all about.
That's
right?
So true. Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
It was my pleasure. You know, what a great
really
way to wrap
you.
This up, you know, just...
Hell yeah.
Shooting the shit and having some fun, you know?
Yeah, and the fact that we know so many of the same people just makes me feel good with it. So I was really happy that we got to do this today.
Yeah.
So next time you come in, we're going to hit you up, and hopefully we can get you in the studio.
I would love that, and I would love to drink some real booze with you guys.
Yes.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yes, because this is
we get real crazy, man. You got to see us.
Wild.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'm used to it. Believe me.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much, Keith, for
my pleasure.
Being on
thank
the show.
You for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, we appreciate
awesome.
You.
We'll see you
man.
Next time.
All right.
Bye.